Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Wednesday, April 19th. So what do you think about the settlement between Fox News and the Dominion Voting Machine Company? Was Fox held accountable for spreading lies about the 2020 election, even though they knew the statements to be false? Fox will pay Dominion more than $750 million, but it only admits to airing things that were false, not for doing it knowing those things were false. Those things matter. That difference matters. So is this real justice that will make it harder for Fox or others to lie to try and overturn true election outcomes in next year's presidential elections and other future elections? Or is the message here that settling a lawsuit is just the cost of doing business if your goal is ending democracy for fun and profit? Here's the president of Dominion Voting Machines, John Paulos, just after the settlement was announced.
Fox and Dominion have reached an historic settlement. Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion that caused enormous damage to my company, our employees, and the customers that we serve. Nothing can ever make up for that. Throughout this process, we have sought accountability and believe the evidence brought to light through this case underscores the consequences of spreading lies.
Maybe. But what are the consequences for the fake news conspiracy theory echo chamber when Fox itself hardly reported the settlement to its own viewers, those Americans most likely to believe in the lies? Another question, kind of an opposite one, are there any consequences for freedom of the press when a news organization is held legally liable for speech that it chooses to air, true or not? We'll talk about the settlement now with the legendary First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams, who has long represented media companies, including the New York Times and the Pentagon Papers Supreme Court case of the 1970s and many others. Floyd is currently senior counsel at the law firm of Cahill, Gordon, and Rindell. As a First Amendment advocate, though, he also filed a Supreme Court brief, we should remind you, on Mitch McConnell's side in the landmark Citizens United case, which gave corporations the same rights as people to spend unlimited amounts of money in support of political candidates. That ruling is infamous to many, but Abrams' bio page describes it as defending the rights of corporations and unions to speak publicly about politics and elections. So he sees himself as consistent, an advocate of the First Amendment. We'll see what he thinks about the First Amendment issues here, as well as the accountability ones. Floyd, it's always good to talk to you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thanks very much. It's been an extraordinary day with respect to the First Amendment and with respect to, hopefully, the ability of the public to get more truthful news, or at least less lies.
So, Floyd, as a defender of freedom of the press, and to elaborate on what you just said now, I know you want media companies to have very wide lanes to air controversial statements, but you just said what you said, and I see you were quoted in the Washington Post this week saying Fox committed grievous and indefensible journalistic sins. So how would you describe those sins as you see the evidence in this case?
Well, the basic sin was a pattern, a repetitive pattern of lying, purposeful lying, knowledgeable lying, with respect to this company that no one ever heard of before, which made election machines. Look, there are limits, inherent limits, to what the law can do to make people or institutions, corporations too, whole. And even this vast amount of money, and in American legal historical terms, it is a vast amount of money that Fox will be obliged to pay, doesn't really equalize, doesn't mean that this company is as it was before Fox began its pattern of lying about them.
You mean Dominion? You mean Dominion?
Yeah,
isn't made whole.
Yeah, Dominion itself. I mean, it's not as if Dominion is what it was before the lies started.
But let me ask you this: to your ear, did Dominion prove, with the evidence that it was able to bring out in the discovery process, that Fox News aired lies about the election or about the company that they knew to be false?
Yes, I think it was a very strong, very powerful case with respect to just that issue. Internal people at Fox, Tucker Carlson standing there while watching an interview and muttering, saying in so many words that this person was lying. She's a liar. I know she lied to me.
He said that off the air.
He said off the air, yeah. But for whatever reasons, everything the Fox people said to each other seemed to have been recorded. And so we have the exact language. So he's speaking, about a person that Fox put on again and again, a woman who was lying about what was going on. And he knew it, and not just he knew it, but he's a very good example of the discomfort at some levels by some people in Fox. I mean, it's not that I give him credit for anything about this, but I think that, when someone who holds that position, I guess he's their number one ratings getter anyway, was standing there listening, watching, and saying, in almost the words I'm about to use, we purposely put on someone who is lying. I know she's lying. Mm. She's lied to me. And that's not the only sort of evidence, but there was enormous body of evidence. And if there hadn't been, believe me, Fox would never have agreed to pay that was involved here.
$750+ million. I thought it might be interesting for some listeners who haven't been following the case, the developments leading up to yesterday's opening of the trial and then settlement of the trial, an example of the evidence that Dominion was able to bring into the open. This is audio evidence, so perfect for radio. And here's part of a phone call between a Fox News producer and a Trump campaign official. This was on December 5th, 2020, so about a month after the election, a month before January 6th. They aired this excerpt on MSNBC. Once it became public, you will hear the campaign official tell the producer how little they can prove about alleged Dominion machine rigging in a particular case.
Are any of the machines, I know it was on War Room the other day with Steve Bannon, have any of the machines been looked at? He had said that one was looked at in Georgia.
I'd have to check on that in terms of Georgia. I know during the audit they did check on those machines. They're really, if we can just go off the record for one sec here.
Yeah, of course. I don't want us to say it if it's not. That's why we're checking.
I think they have looked at the machines. When the Secretary of State did its audit, there was a lot of, I think, a fair bit of looking at the machines. The audit came in pretty darn close to what the machine count was with the receipts. So, I don't know the outcome of those, but our understanding, again, this is from the Secretary of State's office, was that there weren't any physical issues with machines on those inspections.
So there weren't any physical issues with those Georgia machines on those inspections, according to a Trump campaign official there, but being careful to speak off the record. And the Fox News producer, to her credit, was doing her job as a journalist there, trying to learn what was true. And yet, here's what Trump was saying in public that very same day, December 5th, 2020.
In one Michigan county using Dominion voting systems, nearly 6,000 votes were discovered that were wrongly switched from Trump to Biden. They called it a glitch. You know, a glitch, that's like the machine broke. Numerous times we found glitches, and every single time the glitch went 100% to Biden and no percent to Trump. The same systems are used in 30 states.
So the contrast is obviously huge, Floyd. And if Fox was airing Trump or descriptions of Trump's language without adding what it was told was real by Trump campaign officials, because that was off the record, that's the story we're talking about here, right?
You bet. That's the story that we're talking about here. And when issues like this came up within Fox, you heard one word used a lot. We have to respect our audience. Respect our audience means the audience wants really pro-Trump stuff, bad stuff about his opponent, Trump to win, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, we can't go too far down the road of truth-telling. And that is, and they were also, and this was very clear in listening to tapes that were made public, they were also very, very concerned that if they started telling the truth about the election and who won it and who lost it, that their viewers would go to Newsmax or another right-wing station. And so for that reason as well, they continued down this sort of pattern of lies and you know, I mean, and this is why, again, the settlement was surely so high in American legal terms. It's an extraordinarily high judgment I agreed to, is that, you know, it happened again and again. And they knew all the people there on top knew what was going on. And some of them, you know, made mild objections. We really shouldn't put so-and-so on anymore. But my heavens, the core of it was again and again, this is what we need to do to keep our viewers. And so they went.
Then there's the question, if this case was so strong, why did Dominion settle out of court? And Larry in Oceanside has a theory about that, I think. Larry, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, Brian, Mr. Abrams. In terms of an apology from Good morning. In terms of an apology from Fox to Dominion and the country, this was never a serious consideration for Dominion. It was primarily about the money. I say this, and I welcome your comments, based upon a 2019 posting on Senator Elizabeth Warren's website. I'll just read a paragraph. The three vendors, election systems and software, Dominion Voting Systems and Hart InterCivic, collectively distribute voting machines and software that facilitate voting for over 90% of all eligible voters in the United States. Private equity firms reportedly own or control each of these vendors, which have long skimped on security in favor of convenience, leaving voting systems across the country prone to security problems. So I guess it's this. Is there veracity to what Elizabeth Warren states on her website and other senators have signed on to that in regards to private equity, in fact, owning Dominion? And that would certainly put incentive motive ahead of everything. I'll take my comments off the air.
Larry, thank you very much. So, Floyd, what I hear him saying, tell me if you heard it the same way, is that Dominion didn't really have the public interest of airing this all out in the way you were just describing you hope would have happened at heart at all. It's a company. It's owned by private equity. So all they really cared about was the money. So they got what they want and were willing to sacrifice the public interest of fuller disclosure by Fox in the process.
They did get what they wanted. Did they want more? Would they have preferred a trial? No. I mean, remember, too, that had there been a trial in federal court, you need a unanimous jury. So no matter how strong your case is, you know, you wind up with one person who didn't tell the judge that she really, you know, can't stand Joe Biden and anything Donald Trump says is okay with her. I mean, there were risks. However strong the case was, for the case to be pursued, and you know, risks that had to be weighed. in terms of whether there was pressure by, you know, the entities that invest in or have a lot of money in the company. I don't know that it happened. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, their interest, the investors' interest, has not been the sort of what's the good thing for the country that we've been talking about so far. Yes, you're right that their interest is to have a profitable and then a more profitable company, and to do it without the sort of risks that would otherwise have come had this gone to trial.
Here's Dominion lawyer Justin Nelson on Morning Edition today for about 30 seconds.
Oh, I think this was in the heartland of the First Amendment. I think what this really showed was that the actual malice standard is something that all journalists should embrace. We certainly embraced it. And that what we have here is how we balance the different rights and to make sure that we're protecting the reputation. And so I think what we did is really defend truth. And that, as we said, the truth really does matter and that lies have consequences. And that's totally consistent with the First Amendment.
Dominion lawyer Justin Nelson. So Floyd, would you do a little law school lesson in brief for our listeners here? He referred in that clip to the standard that you have to prove in order to win a defamation case against a media company that says things about you, and that's what's called actual malice. Can you describe what that means in real life?
Sure. The first thing you have to know is that the words actual malice doesn't mean what anyone who speaks English would think actual malice is. It's not about malice. The Supreme Court has made clear again and again that what they mean by actual malice, and therefore this is what the law is that to win a libel suit against a public figure, when it's a case involving a public figure, win a libel suit, you have to show that what was said was either knowingly false, you know, a purposeful, deliberate lie, or said with, quote, from the Supreme Court, a high degree of awareness of probable falsity. So either you have to know that what you're saying was false, or suspect it to the point that it is all but knowing it. And anything short of that, there's no recovery. And the purpose of that is to protect the free press. We do give more protection under our First Amendment to the press than any other democratic country in the world, more than Canada, more than England. I mean, there are other ways to structure a legal system to protect free expression, but other countries and other democratic countries lean a lot more in the direction of protecting reputation, lost reputation, than we do because of our concern about suppressing speech, particularly speech about the government or speech about powerful entities like Fox News. So that's where we come out. But again, unfortunately, and I think the Supreme Court knows it now, they couldn't have used a more misleading characterization of the legal test than to call it actual malice. Again, it's you really have to prove knowledge of falsity or serious doubts about truth or falsity. And that's what they would have had to have proved. I think they could have, but that's what they would have had to have proved against Fox if this had gone to a jury.
So last question, and I know you got to go in a couple of minutes. The media landscape is so different from when you got into the freedom of the press business. So many people get the news, as you know, from social media, not professional media. So how much does that make this case matter less in terms of keeping political arguments based on real facts in the United States that people can then disagree on, even if Fox News is chilled now from reporting lies as aggressively as they did in this case?
You got a good point. On the ground, so many people now get information, I hate to even call it news, but information of one sort or another from social media, often, you know, spoken or contributed by people who either don't know what they're talking about or are deliberately misleading for the purpose of persuading listeners and viewers, that the body of law that has been built up, and as you say, since I started practicing law more than a while ago, is sort of less relevant in a way. I mean, it's not that you can't bring a libel suit about somebody on social media, but it's a different world on social media. And it's very often not a world that's really conducive to truth-telling.
The legendary First Amendment lawyer, Floyd Abrams. He's senior counsel at the law firm of Cahill, Gordon, and Rindell. Thank you for joining us on this, Floyd. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.